fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got our own sharp-dressed man around these parts. I'll tell you all about that in just a second, but welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer, and we are live and coming to you from the mercury-free broadcasting studios. And don't forget, for the best in dentistry, general dentistry, and especially mercury-free dentistry, call my friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hart. Lair's not going to be here tonight or tomorrow night. He'll be back Wednesday, though. And so I'd started the show off with a little something there, you know, in place of Lair's opening remarks. You know, sometimes I sing. I started to sing this one today, but I thought maybe you guys would like the real thing from the boys from ZZ Top instead of hearing me wailing. But don't forget, folks, since I am live here today, you can give me a call at 407-774-8255 if you would like to. So who is that sharp-dressed man around here? Well, it's none other than our very own Carl Jackson. That's right, folks. I hope you caught Carl Jackson on Fox and Friends Saturday morning with old Tuck Carlson. And he looked good, he sounded good, and he spoke the truth. And he did a fine job of it, and we're really, really proud of Carl Jackson around here. I hope you caught it. I know Nostra Dennis and I were up at that hour. It was the 6:15, and actually went off on time, which is a bit of an unusual thing in live television. But and Carl did a really great job. He addressed the race baiters out there, and also mentioned the comments by Hank Aaron. And I hope you caught it. And Carl is doing a great job. And once again, he looked sharp too. I tell you what, he was a sharp dressed man. All right, so welcome to the show. We've got a lot to do today. We're going to have Tom Tillison join us. You know, he hasn't been with us the last couple of weeks. He had the flu, and we had other things going on. But he's back, and we'll be talking to him today. Nostra Dennis is going to join us a little bit later on in the show as well. But as I said, you guys are welcome to join us at any time. And I also want to give you a heads up This week, we're going to add two new sponsors. Thank God Almighty for that. And, of course, we could always use some more, but I really want you folks to pay attention and listen to our commercials, if you will. We have My Liberty Threads, who's come on as an official sponsor, and you will hear their commercial during our show. And I would love if you folks would go to MyLibertyThreads.com and pick up a T-shirt or two. They're really great quality T-shirts, American-made, and really great patriotic. Sayings on them. A great way to you know, demonstrate your love for this country and your patriotism. And later on in the week, we're going to add another sponsor. I'll keep that as a bit of a surprise for right now. But for right now, today, concentrate on My Liberty Threads. And of course, please support all of our sponsors, because this is the fact of the matter. We cannot do this show without sponsors. We can't afford it. One time we could, that's gone. We have to have sponsors, and we have to have you folks go out and sponsor them. Support them, I should say, because that's how it all, you know, that's how the game works. That's how the ball rolls down the field, if you will. And, of course, we've got some great sponsors, starting with Pasquale Barba, who's been with us over 3 years now. That is totally unheard of in this business, believe me. And he's been a great sponsor for us, and it's a great restaurant down there. We're there every week. You can join us if you like, but please. If you haven't been to Cafe Positano right here, 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436, please go. Great Italian food, the best in all of Central Florida, in my opinion, and I love Italian food. So I've been to just about all the Italian restaurants in town. And, of course, there is MyLibertyThreads.com, and we have Dr. James Hardy, 407-678-3399, who supports us by having named our studios after mercury-free dentistry. And then we have Vacation Travel Planners with Mara Lee, and we have Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Please, all of these sponsors can save you money and can bring you good things to life, if you will. So please support them, and because they support us. Can't do it without them. And I can't forget to mention David Smith. David Smith has chosen to advertise on our show, all right, over all the other ones, because he values, guess what? You, our listeners. That's why he does it. So please support our supporters. And once again, we appreciate it. My Liberty Threads, thanks to Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads. We really appreciate him being now a part of our team. All right, before we get to the break and go to Tom Tillison, I do want to talk about something that I was in the Wall Street Journal today. It's an excellent article. It's on the opinion page. It's entitled, Ignoring an Inequality Culprit. Single-parent families. It's an excellent article. It's nothing new. This research has been around for some time, although there is new research supporting the old research. But guess what? One of the main driving forces for people being in, staying in, or getting in to poverty is the single-parent family. All right, let me just read you a little bit of this article here. It won't take me very long. Yet, in the current discussions about increased inequality, few researchers, fewer reporters, and no one in the executive branch of government, that would be the Obama administration, directly addresses what seems to be the strongest statistical correlate of inequality in the United States, the rise of single-parent families during the past half century. The two-parent family has declined rapidly in recent decades. In 1960, more than 76% of African Americans and nearly 97% of whites were born to married couples. Get this. Today, the percentage is 30% for blacks, less than half of what it was, and 70% for whites. The out-of-wedlock birth rate for Hispanics surpassed 50% in 2006. This trend, coupled with high divorce rates, means that roughly 25% of American children now live in single-parent homes, twice the percentage in Europe, which is 12%, believe that or not. Roughly a third of American children live apart from their fathers. Does it matter? Yes. Many economies say so. And listen to this. Nick, please give me two more minutes here. More than 20% of children in single-parent families live in poverty long-term, compared with 2% of those raised in two-parent families. Let me read that one again. More than 20% of children in single-parent families live in poverty long-term, compared with 2%, one-tenth, 2% of those raised in two-parent families, according to educational policy analyst Mitch Perlstar's 2011 book, From Family Collapse to America's Decline. The poverty rate would be 25% lower. The poverty rate in general would be 25% lower if today's family structure resembled that of 1970, according to a 2009 report entitled Creating an Opportunity Society from the Brookings Institute. A 2006 article in the journal Demography by Penn State sociologist Molly Martin estimates that 41% of the economic inequality created between 1976 and 2000 was the result of changed family structure. In other words, it wasn't a result of conservative policies. It was the result of the breakdown of the family. All right? So raising the minimum wage is not going to correct the problem. All right? Earlier this year, a team of researchers led by Harvard economist Raj Chetty reported that communities with a high percentage of single-parent families are less likely to experience upward mobility. This is something that needs to be discussed much more broadly, much more openly, because it betrays the lies of liberalism, which is that you don't need the family structure like we once knew it anymore. You know, that marriage thing, it's relative. We can change it up. We can play with it. We can do this. We can do that. We can give out food stamps. We can have pre-school for pre-K, and we can have daycare, government daycare, business daycare. We can do all this stuff to make up for the two-parent family. Well, oh, no, you can't, because there is no substitute for family. I'm sorry. There isn't. Friends is not a substitute for family, although it may be close. Church is not a substitute for family, although it supports the family. Government is by no means, no way, no how a substitute for a two-parent family. This goes to the heart of many problems in the United States, from drug addiction to gang affiliation. All of these things have risen as the family has fallen. Is it so very hard to figure that out? Well, at least these folks did. By the way, this article, Ignoring an Inequality Culprit, Single-Parent Families, was written by Robert Maranto, who is a professor in the Department of Education Reform at the University of Arkansas, where his colleague Michael Crouch is a researcher. So the evidence is plenty. It is a plenty. It is out there. But no, the Democrats, that they don't want to talk about that. No. They want to talk about gay marriage and all that great stuff. We can substitute all these things, and it'll all be fine. All right. Well, no, it won't. All right, but at least see. We got Al on the phone here, so let me go to Al. Al, I heard you on Mike Gallagher last week, and I was seriously jealous. What do you think about calling Mike Gallagher?
I think it was great.
Yeah, actually, I thought you guys had a pretty good conversation.
Yeah, it was civilized.
All right. Your thoughts on today. I got to go to a break, so give me your thoughts.
All right. Yes, sir. I don't know any Democrat politician that says, hey, marriage isn't good. I mean, name one of them.
I didn't say that they say that marriage isn't good. What I think I'm saying is that they say that the traditional family, the two-parent family, if you will, is not necessary. It's not that they don't say that it isn't good. What they say is that it isn't necessary.
Who said that, Chris?
That is the whole liberal motif.
That's not true.
No, but yes, it is. Why do they then support policies that tear down the family? The whole welfare system is based on undermining the nuclear family. That's what it's built. That's why you have all of these things. It is to undermine. It is to replace the family. This is the direction that the geniuses want to take, not only the country, but the world, where the government is the family. Right? Didn't you remember hearing that in the last Democratic presidential convention?
No.
Yes, they did say that, that government is family. We're all part of the same family of government. It's a whole different ball of wax. They are undermining the family in a myriad of different ways. I would say even abortion itself undermines the family because it tells the parents you can get out of the, you know, you can get out of the situation real fast and easy. Here's all you got to do. All right. Thank you, Al. I appreciate you being out there. We come back. We'll be joined by Tom Tillison, and you can join us, too, just like Al did, 407-774-8255.
American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
And we are back. That's right, folks. We are live, and I am here by myself, so you can call in. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm not exactly by myself. I have Tom Tillison on the line. Nostradamus is going to join us here shortly. And, of course, I'm in the good hands of Nick LoCicero tonight, who's on the bridge, guiding us through the ether. Just one quick note to Al. Al, wasn't it Hillary Clinton who wrote the book that it takes a village? You remember? It takes a village. Well, the village is a sad, sorry excuse, or substitute, I should say, for a two-parent family. And yet that is what they would have us believe that they can do. All right, let's get now to our man Tom Tillison. You can find his work at Biz, that's B-I-Z, PACReview.com. Tom, how you been doing, man? We missed you.
Hey, Chris, I'm doing much better. For some reason, every year come about April, my body insists on breaking down for a week or so.
It wouldn't have anything to do with April 15th, would it? I know it. I know my brain breaks down about that time when I got to give the government their due, if you will. I remember talking to a dear friend of mine, and she worked, you know, as an employee all her life. Her children are employees, and then this one year, one of her sons actually had gotten some 1099s, so he had to pay his taxes all at once at the end of the year. He didn't do estimated taxes or anything, and of course, no one was taking any taxes out. And boy, did they just, that was just so cruel that he had to pay his own taxes. So I wish people just would all have to pay their own taxes rather than having their employers take it out. And then maybe they would feel it a little bit, you know, more closer to home. You think so, Tom?
Well, I think so. At least it would give them an investment in what's happening or the whole overall process. But
exactly.
I don't know. Like I said, with me, I don't know if it was the taxes so much. It's just every year about this time, I seem to have this little episode with the flu.
All right. Well, you don't have any mercury fillings in your mouth, do you?
No, I don't.
Silver fillings. I was just going to say, if you do, get them out because it'll help your immune system. Anyway, Tom, let's get down to business. First of all, the Florida legislative session picked back up today after having a week off. And, you know, the first half of the session, they got a little bit done, but it was kind of quiet. Now they're coming down, getting ready to go down the home stretch. The budget's the big thing. But aside from the budget, what should we be looking out for?
Well, you know, it's an election year, Chris, so we know that there's not a whole lot going to happen. They don't want a lot of controversy. You know, they want to keep the voters happy so they show up in November. You know, the two things I think that we will see more action or see more of is the in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. I was surprised to see that slow last week, you know. It looked like it was, you know, moving right along, and all of a sudden the Senate started, you know, expressing some concerns about whether or not that bill would be, you know, able to pass.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Saturday's Orlando Sentinel, you know, where they have the champs and the chumps, they named Joe Negron, who is the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, the chump for slowing that bill down. And
well, it wasn't just Negron. It was also the Senate President Gates, who came out to say that, you know, I'm not so sure this is a good idea.
Well, now that's in the face of evidently Rick Scott, Jeb Bush, and Bob Martinez have all come out saying that the legislature should take this action, which is to give the children of illegal immigrants, them being illegal too, in-state tuition.
Well, you know, I just have to say, I think Republican leadership is convinced, or many in the leadership are convinced, that this is a win-win situation for them, you know, come the election. But I still think it comes across as pandering, in my opinion.
Well, speaking of pandering, let's talk about Jeb Bush for a minute. He is out there. You know, he made some comments a couple of weeks ago, basically saying that people who came here illegally did it out of a sense of love and commitment to their families. And he obviously is for immigration reform, not just on the state level like here, but also on the federal level. You think he's angling for a White House run, or you think he's just trying to get the Republicans to go along with this idea?
Well, you know, it looks to be that he's at least positioning himself for a potential run. He's making all the right noises. And, you know, interestingly, Chris, there was an article in Vanity Fair today that said that Jeb Bush is making too much money right now in his current capacity to give that up and run for office, which was interesting. These guys make a lot of money, either through, you know, he's charging $50,000 a speech. He's also sits on several different boards who are paying him, corporate boards.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that's one consideration. The other is that his wife, there seems to be some concern that she's not on board.
She does. I got to go to the break, Tom, but it's my understanding she does not like the limelight. She doesn't like that political high-profile lifestyle and would just soon not have any part of it. All right, well, stay with us. And, folks, I hope you'll continue to have a big part of us and us part of you. We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. Folks, as I said, you'll always find a lot of new stuff every day at SoundbiteRx.com. Let me just give you a little rundown of what went up today. Did you ever wonder just how much those vacations cost that the White House, that in particular the President and First Lady, take, seems like every other week? Well, there is a full accounting at SoundbiteRx.com today. You'll find it. And it's atrocious how much money we spend on their vacations. And there's this, that Obamacare may have just created a huge problem for however many million people signed up. If they are getting a government subsidy, the federal courts may yet strike that down, which will make them liable for the full price of the premium, whatever it may end up being. And we were just talking about Jeb Bush perhaps making too much money in his private life to want to run for president. Guess who else is? That's right. Hillary Clinton is making a buku bucks on the lecture circuit herself. And there are other reasons why she may be reconsidering running for president. And you'll find this stuff at SoundbiteRx.com today. Her poll numbers are going down, as you might expect when they're that high to begin with. And also, she doesn't have much of a record to run on. She's got name recognition, but no record. You'll find all that in a couple of articles at SoundbiteRx.com today. And you'll also find out about the ratings numbers for MSNBC, how they are really tanking. You know who their big star is? Rachel. That's right. Rachel Maddow is their big star. All the guys, nah, they're no good. And shoot, it won't be long before we have better ratings numbers than MSNBC, the way we're going, the way they're going. So you'll find all that stuff at SoundbiteRx.com today, just today, and there'll be lots of stuff new tomorrow. Go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for being with us tonight. We are The American Adversaries in drive time on AM 660. The Answer, coming to you live, yes, indeed, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Christopher Hart here with you. We've got Tom Tillison on the line, and Nostra Dentist will be joining us here momentarily. Tom, let's pick it up where we left off, because, you know, there's a lot of speculation right now that Jeb Bush is, you know, if he wants the nomination, he would be the top dog. And then on the other side, it's Hillary's, you know, for the taking. Both of them, though, I'm not so sure that either one of them's going to be there to run, much less get the nomination. And we mentioned some of the reasons for Jeb Bush, and his wife just isn't into this at all. And I can't see her liking being in the White House. She didn't like being in the capital of Tallahassee.
No, not at all. And I think that's going to be a huge factor. I think Jeb Bush will not run if he does not get his wife's blessing. But you have to think, though, and you talk about Hillary. I think Hillary's a shoe-in. She's just playing coy at the moment. But you have to look back at Jeb. Even if he does decide to run, he has to survive the Republican primary, which, you know, with his positions, many of his positions, including immigration, are probably going to cause him more trouble in the Republican primary than it would in the general. So even if he did decide to run, it's not a shoe-in that he's just going to walk away with the nominee.
Yeah,
the
nomination. I'm hesitant to cite this poll because it's probably far from scientific, but on Friday's Orlando Sentinel, their poll says, the question was, will Jeb Bush's position on immigration hurt him politically? 70% said yes. So he does definitely, he's like Marco Rubio. That right now is kind of the third rail of Republican politics. You kind of don't want to touch it unless you really have thought it out and can address all the various components of it, let's just say.
Well, the Republican primary is always pushed to the right, and there's just no way that that's going to be beneficial to him, particularly when he's going to have other candidates taking a much harder stance that he's up against.
Right. Now, I want to get your thoughts on Ted Cruz, because, he's getting a lot of play, too, and he's one of these guys that I guess either you like him or you hate him. You either love him or you hate him. But interestingly enough, his bill to deny this Iranian diplomat from coming to this country, Hamid Abu Talabi, was actually signed into law by the president. And so he's become a player.
Well, the president signed the law, but then he said, well, I may or may not follow this law, though.
So what else is new, I guess, right?
Exactly. Ted Cruz, I love Ted Cruz. I think he's a statesman for our time. As far as him running for higher office, I think he's a very polarizing figure. And he's much like, I compare him to Sarah Palin. If he did jump in the race, the left will do everything possible, to marginalize him, and they'll hit him with everything they've got, because they know that he is one of those figures that kind of can rise above, the den of politics, and the left is very much concerned about that.
And as they should be, because he is an actual real threat, because I believe that he's smart enough. And
Chris, I have to say, I don't know that Ted Cruz has the the structure in place to run for national office, and he would have a lot of legwork to do in a short period of time to set that network up.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that the dark horse candidate here, there's two candidates that I think people should keep their eye on. One is Governor Rick Perry from Texas.
Yep, I agree there.
The other is Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin.
And you're probably right there as well. Now, are they setting up a network? And you're absolutely right. Cruz does not have a network to speak of. But who does? Who does right now, other than, say, Jeb Bush, who has it by default?
Well, yeah, and that's Bush's biggest selling point, is that he has that network in place, both from his brother and his father.
Right.
I think Rick Perry, he's still got that same the same network that he used in 2012. I mean, I think he's in position to be a serious player here. Outside of that, I think Chris Christie might be the only other one who's, really, got that in place already if he should decide to run.
Yeah. Well, there's Rand Paul out there working real hard, but, his network is going to be pretty limited, I think, although he does have appeal to groups that aren't traditionally, you know, associated with conservatives, more or less.
Well, Rand Paul, he confuses me. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
His support of Mitch McConnell just baffles my mind. I just don't know about this guy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, I know about this guy. His name's Nostradinus, so let me bring him on in here. He's our executive producer, and he's over at headquarters. Hey, Nostradinus.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I'm feeling better, Tom. It's no fun being sick this time of year.
Not at all.
All right. Nostradinus, any thoughts on what we were just talking about?
What was that?
I say, do you have any thoughts on what we were just talking about, Jeb Bush and these guys running?
Yeah, you know, I'm a conservative who's really a conservative. I'm really not interested in a Jeb Bush or a Chris Christie. I really want to hear people who have ideas to get us on the right course as quickly as possible, rather than kind of drifting and guiding our way towards the center. I think we really need to make major changes in the next 4 years to try to atone for what's gone wrong the last 8 years.
And doesn't that pretty much, you know, express the sentiments of the Republican base right now, Tom?
Well, some of the base, yes, but yeah, and that's where that's what Jeb Bush is up against. The idea that, you know, what will he bring new? What does he bring to the table that's new or different from what we've already seen, particularly in the Republican Party, where there are a lot of folks that they're ready, you know, for some real change. They're ready for you know, real direction in the party. And I think, you know, the Republican Party is in a position where they need to get it right this time, because, you know, otherwise their opportunities, you know, may not come again for a while.
Yeah, that's right, especially if they pass, you know, some harebrained version of immigration reform, because there's a new study out today that says, you know, most of these immigrants are going to vote Democrat. That's just the persuasion that they come from.
If I could jump in here, I'll be the first to predict John Boehner will try to pass some form of immigration reform before November. I can almost assure you of that.
Well, he has said as much. He said he's going to try. So we shall see. Tom, before we let you go, I want Dennis to go over a story so that we can all enjoy it, if you will. Dennis, take it away.
Yeah, have you heard about this? David Gregory from Meet the Press is undergoing some testing. I guess you know that telephone company that has the friends and family plan. Well, David Gregory is undergoing some NBC psychological research. They are interviewing his friends and his family, as well as giving him extreme psychological examinations to try to determine how to make him more likable and how to relate to audiences better. It is that the ratings for Meet the Press have just tanked since he came on as host. What's your take on that, Tom?
Well, I do know that Fox News Sunday, you know, just past week, if I'm not mistaken, they were the top-rated Sunday show, beating Meet the Press, which is a pretty substantial feat when you look at the ratings overall. So I think they're having some problems over there with Meet the Press.
So, extreme psychological testing of him and his friends to make him more likable?
Yeah,
why don't they just get a new guy?
I don't know if they're waterboarding him or what. Unusual for a network to do this with someone who's been their employee for 20 years. A lot of times when a new company hires a new employee, in any industry, they will do psychological testing on them.
That's
extremely popular in sports. When you hire a new athlete and sign him to a contract, you want to make sure his head is screwed on straight as well as his body.
Maybe they should have done it 20 years ago, though. Tom, tell me if I'm not correct here, though. In the major newsrooms like that, it's not always the most capable person, let's just say, that makes it in front of the camera, is it?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that play into that. You know, the personal, you know, how they are, that personal appeal is a big important part of that, but relationships, just like everything, relationships come into play as well. It's you know, as in most industries, who you know does matter.
Yeah, well, I just remember the book This Town, and I can't, the author slipped my mind right now, but they talk about the book starts out talking about Tim Russert's funeral. Okay, now Tim Russert, he was, folks, if you don't remember, he was the host of Meet the Press before David Gregory took it over. And evidently, you know, even at the funeral, there was, you know, elbowing and people trying to get ahead and people trying to connect. And let's just say that David Gregory wanted that job and he wasn't going to be denied it. And anybody that was going to get in his way, he was willing to walk over them. Well, I guess he got what he wanted, but it didn't turn out so good, did it?
Well, you know, those are big shoes for him to fill, and I don't know what the deal is with NBC. We see it on with the Tonight Show as well, where they just can't seem to get a plan in place to have a successor in line and do it in a smooth, you know,
yeah.
fashion.
Yeah, well, I can tell David Gregory how to clean up, in other words, how to bring those ratings up. Quit making it look so obvious that you're nothing more than a liberal shill. I mean, it's just so obvious when you listen to the guy's questioning, when you look at the expressions on his face, you know who he's for and who he's against. I mean, it's at least Tim Russert had some air of even-handedness. Am I wrong about that, Tom?
Well, you're absolutely right, but we're in the Barack Obama era where the liberals are bolder today than they've ever been in my lifetime. They're so bold that they put their thoughts and opinions out there, and they honestly believe that that's the mainstream, you know, point of view, and they don't realize that they still are but a small minority of the population.
Yeah, that's why I said early on I'd kiss Barack Obama if he were here in the studio, because he has enabled us to expose, or they have exposed themselves, the liberals, really, what they're all about and how unabashed they are about doing it. And this is just another example of that. All right, thanks so much, Tom. We appreciate you being out there. And Nostra Dennis, we'll get back to you here in just a minute. But folks, I just want to remind you that if you have not yet tried Roxy Pacifics, it is great stuff. It's an all-new antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin stuff. It is the proper chemical composition to complement your skin and it growing healthily. It doesn't cover symptoms. It makes your skin grow healthily. For those average everyday complications to your skins, like cuts, burns, whatever, or for those chronic conditions, go to Roxy Pacifics. That's Roczey Pacifics with an X.net. Check it out. It's great stuff. We'll be right back.
AM 660, The Answer.
You may know me in wrestling as a star, Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna fruta.
I dare you to. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. If you want to call, you better do it fast. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's get back to now Nostra Dennis over at headquarters. Hey, Nostra Dennis, you know, Easter weekend is for folks is a lot of great, movie weekend. And there were some pretty good numbers out of a couple of movies this week that we were watching.
Yeah, a lot of movies of faith are in the top 10. God's Not Dead is still hanging in there at number 10. It's already earned $48 million, which is just astounding for a movie with the kind of budget it had. It's just resonating with people. The new movie, Heaven is for Real, I haven't gone and seen that yet, but I want to, has already earned $28.5 million in the 10 days it's been out. It only cost about $14 million to make. And so it's already doubled its profits. Meanwhile, it beat out the Johnny Depp movie, Transcendence. Cost $100 million to make that one. It earned a disappointing $11 million in the past week.
Yeah. I think the lesson to be learned here is when it comes to movies, it's still all about the story. It doesn't, the budget's secondary to the script, to the story. And Heaven is for Real and God is Not Dead, both of them are excellent stories, which turned out to be they're both based on true stories.
That's right. And in the number one movie this weekend, Captain America, not based on a true story, at least as far as I can tell, but it is sticking around at number one. It's earned $201 million so far. And while it doesn't have a message of faith, it does have a positive patriotic message.
It does. Actually, I think there's a little something in there for everybody. I mean, if for whatever political persuasion you are, you will find something in Captain America that you will like. All right, so let's just say it. Let me just leave it at that because it's a pretty decent movie. And there was a poll out, though, that perhaps reflects why these two movies, Heaven is for Real and God is Not Dead, why they are enjoying such success. A Rasmussen poll, wasn't it, Nostradamus?
Yeah, Rasmussen asked several questions last week. 1,000 adults surveyed. 95% level of confidence in the results. Some of the questions went like this. Do you believe in the God of the Bible? And that's left open to interpretation, whether you believe in the Old Testament God or the New Testament God. 64% of people say they believe in the God of the Bible.
Well, I thought he was the same guy.
Well, he is for Christians. Jews believe in the God of the Old Testament.
Right.
But just don't happen to believe that good rabbi, Jesus Christ, was actually the Son of God.
But 64% believe in the God that's depicted in the Bible, however. Okay.
Correct. 69% of respondents, and this includes all respondents, believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Not just that he was a real person and walked around on the earth 2,000 years ago. That was another question. 82% of American adults think that the person known to history as Jesus Christ actually existed. 69% believe he rose from the dead.
That's pretty much 7 out of 10 people. That's pretty extraordinary because there aren't 7 out of 10 Americans who identify as Christians, are there?
No, as a matter of fact, not. I think the percentage there is somewhere in the high 50s, low 60s.
Yeah, that's extraordinary stuff. 69% believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right, and you know, I don't know if you know, but have you read any of Bill O'Reilly's books, the Killing series, including Killing Jesus?
Yes.
Do you know that he went out of his way when doing research for that book not to use the Bible as a resource?
Right.
Use all kinds of other resources outside Scripture just to avoid the argument, well, that's based on the Bible, and the Bible is just pure fiction, so that if this has no credence. He actually took historical documents and used information from them rather than from Holy Scripture.
Yeah, and even though his historical account pretty much, you know, correlates directly with the Bible, there are some Christians and Bible scholars out there who criticized him for not using the Bible.
Right, but I see his point. If you want to use it as a basis, people can just discount it by saying, well, I don't believe in the Bible, mm-hmm. therefore I don't believe in the arguments you're making.
Right.
He takes that argument away by not using it.
And as I said, you know, his depiction is pretty much what you will find if you read all the Gospels and put it all together.
Sure
it's good stuff. Well, those are encouraging numbers. Absolutely, those are good numbers. They could be better, but they are encouraging. What isn't as encouraging is what a school did to a kid simply because he wanted to, well, I'll say the hottest-looking girl around to be his date at the prom.
Well, when the hottest-looking girl around is Miss America, you kind of have to give the kid a little bit of help here.
I'll say this for the guy. He sets his goals high.
Yeah. 18-year-old Patrick Farvis is his name, from York, Pennsylvania High School.
Yeah.
Central York High School officials have suspended him for 3 days for asking a question in a forum with Miss America. It was supposed to be a question and answer portion about the importance of science, technology, engineering, and math studies.
Sure.
But I guess he did the math, and he figured out he couldn't do much better than asking Miss America to the prom.
Yeah, all he had to do was see those numbers. What are they, 38, 24, 38, or something like that?
As it turns out, she was more than willing to go, but said her schedule prevented her from attending, and she asked the school district to please be lenient with Patrick, but they decided no. He's going to serve a 3-day suspension, but you know what? He's going to be every senior's hero.
I tell you what, you know, and how many times have people like that had to tolerate stupid questions, you know, just off-the-wall stupid stuff? I mean, obviously the kid, you know, wasn't doing any harm. So 3 days suspension, I don't know. I'd take the 3 days. I'd be happy to if I could get a chance to ask her out, right?
Yeah, my daughter asked a silly question once of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
The day in Silent Bob.
Yep.
He said, everyone could ask one question. So she asked, can I hug you? He said, sure, come on up. She came up, she hugged him. It's the best day of her life.
There you go. I mean, what? Yeah. I mean, does everybody have to be a stick in the mud?
No.
Speaking of stick in the muds, how about those bullies who are trying to lean on Liam Neeson because he simply says, hey, let the carriage guys have their business. They love their horses. They take good care of their horses. And now they want to treat him like a horse's patoot.
Now, as far as I know, Liam Neeson is not one of those crazy conservative actors like John Boyd or Kevin Sorbo.
Right.
He's actually fairly liberal.
He sure is.
But he said, you know, I don't think these horses mind carrying people around Central Park.
As a matter of fact, he said something very
enjoy it.
He said, exactly, he said something very profound. And this is something that Karl Marx said, all you liberals out there. He said that for horses, just like human beings, work is good. It is one of the highest forms of expression. The horses love to do what they do. I mean, didn't they ever see that episode of the Andy Griffith where Opie was supposed to feed the horse? Good night, everybody.